Amen. Yet I got this, I just like to bebop along through life, happy-go-lucky, you know, just and to bring those two together. So today, get some work done and have fun at the same time. Proverbs chapter 4, going to start there. And we've been talking about my life as a tree. And we've been talking about producing fruit as believers. And we've looked at things, we're all called to produce fruit. We actually get to be God's garden spot on this earth. And I want to throw this out ahead of time, and hopefully I get to it at the end. You know, we really ought to think about our heart as being the Garden of Eden. Because in God's word is the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And that word gets sown in our heart, and it's to grow. And what does it produce? It produces the fruit of heaven. It produces the life of heaven. And man, I tell you what, when I think about my heart being the Garden of Eden for my life, it's worth protecting. How many of you can say the same thing? So, you know, our heart is a garden spot. In Proverbs 4, I'm going to start reading at verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I just read a lot of different translations, and this one just, I liked the way it sounded, so I wrote it in the margin of my Bible. But out of it, out of our heart, guard it, for out of it, for life flows from it. Just think about that. Life flows from your heart. Life. Life flows from your heart, and it flows from my heart. Not just for ourselves and not just to benefit our own lives, but also to benefit the lives of the people around us. Remember this verse of Scripture? To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown. Now we're talking about the kingdom of God, and we're talking about a mustard seed. We're talking about the seed, the word of God, and we're talking about that word being sown in our heart. It is like a mustard seed. When it is grown, when it is sown, it grows up, and it becomes larger than all the herbs in the garden and shoots out large branches so the birds of the air may nest under its shade. That should be our lives. Folks, amen? Y'all looking at me like I just opened a brand new gate. I hope not. You know, this is our lives we're talking about. And our lives produce the fruit of the kingdom of heaven. Heaven on earth. Wow. It's precious. It's important. You know, and in here, the New King James on verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence. I read a lot of different translations for that word keep. The one that I'm highlighting and focus on is guard. Guard. Guard your heart. Why? Because out of it, life flows. Guard your heart. Watch over it. Keep and guard. Carefully guard. Be careful how you think. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Above every charge, keep the heart, for out of it are the outgoings of life. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Wow. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty cool. So guard your heart. Now, last Sunday when we were ending, we talked a little bit about a garden spot, and I need you all to do this with me. How many of you will right now take, in your mind's eye, in your imagination, imagine a garden spot? Okay? You know, Betsy, you're here this morning, and I think about the garden that you guys grew 7 years ago. I don't know if you got one going this summer again or not, so it's probably pretty easy for you to, because you got one right now that you're working with. How many others have planted a garden? You know, and you can start thinking about that garden spot. If you've never planted a garden, think about one maybe you've seen. But start to envision a garden in your mind. Just start to think about that, if you would, for a little bit. And then I want to ask a few questions. How many of you have a fence around your garden? Okay. You got a picture of that? And you got a fence around that garden. Why do you have a fence around your garden? To guard it, to keep the deer out. Anybody got little really tight, close-knit wire on that to keep the bunnies out? You guard it. Can I share with you? What's in your heart is so many million, billion, quadzillion times worth more than what's in that garden, in your yard, or on your property. And it's worth guarding. It's worth guarding. Okay, so we have that around our heart to guard it, to protect things from getting into our you know, garden spot. And what will they do? They'll eat the lettuce. They'll tear up the garden. They'll eat the crops. They'll eat what we're trying to grow. And then we'll miss out on it. Head with me, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Keep a marker in Proverbs 4. We might be back there. But 2 Corinthians. Actually, I want you to go to these two verses of Scripture at the same time. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, and go to Genesis 2. 2 Corinthians 11, 3, and Genesis 2. And I also want to do something this morning. I just want to do something in life. At men's breakfast three Saturdays ago, we ended up talking about wisdom. And I wrote some notes down about wisdom. One of the things I learned about wisdom, or the way that I put it, is wisdom's calm. Wisdom's not in a hurry. Wisdom doesn't panic. Wisdom will take its time, or let me get it right, scriptural. Wisdom will take her time. Men, that's why we're always waiting on a woman. You guys are so quiet today. That was pretty good. That was an awesome compliment to ladies. I just called you wisdom. Oh, come on now, talk to me. And I will gladly wait on my wife. Oh, so gladly. See, I can remember back to a day when I couldn't wait on her because she didn't want anything to do with me. It's a privilege and an honor to get to wait on her. Amen. And if I'm going to be wise, I'll be calm while I do it. So, I'm purposing on being calm because the Father dropped some stuff in my heart that I want you to get today. The main point that we're talking about is guard your heart, and I would like to really be able to magnify and emphasize the magnitude of guarding one's heart. So you got those two verses of Scripture open. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 reads this way. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. I find that verse of Scripture interesting. The Apostle Paul, you know, with the faith that he had, the boldness that he had, the insight that he had, the understanding that he had, the things that he had seen in life and ministry, the stuff that he had walked through, Here's a scripture that he writes. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupt. One translation says, so your minds may be led astray from the simplicity that is in Christ. Man, I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen to people. And one of the things I've learned is how long do I need to guard my garden spot? For a lifetime. I will never get so old and so mature that the enemy will just give up and quit and say, ah, don't bother with that guy anymore. You know, there's been some amazing men of God that have been taken out 40, 50 years into ministry because the enemy was able to throw a lie, plant a seed, and their lives did not end up where they were supposed to. So I just want to share something with you. A study in California was done long time ago, quite a few years ago, and this individual studied 300 of the prime leaders in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. He looked at 300 of the leading leaders. Everybody say leader. These were leaders. These were people that were in position of leadership. He studied 300 of them. At the end of their lives, catch this, at the end of their lives, 25% of them were still walking close to God. 25%. That's 75 out of 300. They were leaders. What happened? Somehow, some way, the enemy got in there through whatever means he used, and 225, 75% of them were not walking closely with the Father. I don't think this is something that we can play with. I don't think it's something we should take lightly. And I can share with you from my own experience as a Christian and as a pastor, the enemy gets by with this garbage way too often. Way too often. Way too often. And I don't like it. I don't know about you, but I don't like it. As a dad, it's my responsibility to guard my family. As a pastor, it's my responsibility to guard the church. It's not always fun. But I love what I do. And my wife could tell you, none of my children are here today, and they could tell you that sometimes I didn't let them have what they wanted. Wow, imagine that. A parent not allowing their children to have what they wanted. Oh my goodness, isn't that just mind-blowing? You know, that's almost revolutionary in the world today. When you look and you see some things. But as a pastor, I'm supposed to let children have everything they want. No, I am not. And sometimes I'm the wet blanket. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Are you okay with being the wet blanket sometimes? Are you okay with being the one that guards your own heart? Guard your own life, and in so doing, you know that you're guarding life for other people. And just, no, sorry, can't do that. It's getting really quiet in here. Must be talking. Close to home. Amen? So, you know what? If you see me saying no to something, stop and think about why I'm saying no. Why we do this and not that. Amen. This is not in my notes. It's all free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So we got to read, but I fear lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity. You know what would be shocking you guys if I started talking about people we all know? That's where it would get shocking. That's where it starts to come to home. Amen. We doing okay? Amen. Praise God, I hope so. Remember, I'm having a conflict right now inside. Do you know what my conflict is? Yeah, I'm trying to make work fun, and right now the work part seems to be dominating. Where's the fun? I tell you what, the fun is eating the fruit. There's the fun. Amen. Building the fence isn't always the funnest thing. And like we talked about last Sunday, with your garden spot, how many of you have weed seeds that grow into your garden spot? Amen? You want to know a truth? We live in this world. We live in this world, and guess what this world is full of? Weed seeds. And you know what they do? They blow into our life. They're constantly trying to get into our life. Anybody ever pulled weeds out of a garden? When do you like to pull them? When they're little bitty or when they're bigger? It's so much easier when they're little bitty, because those thorns and them pokey things on them, they don't hurt near as bad. It's a lot easier to pull out weed plants when they're little as opposed to big. And I know why I mentioned this last week when we had our garden in Nebraska, weeds fields on three sides, and we'd go out there and have to pull the weeds. You know why? Because we knew. We knew if we didn't pull those weeds, guess what they're going to do? They're going to grow, and they're going to take over, and they're going to rob what we have planted of sunlight, of water, of nutrition, you know, if I'm saying that word right, for a garden spot. But they're just going to do it. You got to get them out. Amen? So, hallelujah. Here we are in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And then the Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. What did the garden look like? What was this garden like when God put Adam in there? What did it have? It had trees. It had provision. It had abundance. I mean, this is, how many of you would like to live in that garden? God would come down in the cool of the day and walk through the garden with them. I mean, this is an awesome garden. Okay? What was the one thing that caused this garden to not have the final outcome that it was supposed to have? It wasn't that it didn't have enough trees. It wasn't that it didn't have enough provision. Guys, this is an awesome garden spot. Garden of Eden. Dare say it's the best garden the world has ever known. Amen? And Adam, let me read this here again. Verse 15, then God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. Now, I did something else. I looked at different translations and to see what might be there instead of the word tend. I found things, obviously, tend, keep, cultivate, guard. Guard. One of the things that Adam was supposed to do was to guard this garden. And realize this garden's doing good. It's already producing. Whew. And yet he had to guard it. How many of you would say your life, your heart, is already producing? I hope there's a bunch of us in here would say that. But you know what? That doesn't mean we can let our guard down. That means, gosh. All right, we doing okay? Take care of it and look after it. Work the soil. Take care of the garden. Guard it. What was the one thing that got in and messed this garden up? Go with me to Genesis chapter 3, please. What did Paul say? But I fear, lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve with his craftiness, so your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the true fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. What happened here? I know this seems really, really simple and it seems really basic, but it's so important. What happened here? Satan was able to get in and introduce what? A lie, introduce doubt. Amen. And he got, you know, and this is where, if David was here, he would be saying this. Somewhere along the lines, he heard a minister say, you know, oh, Adam, tons of fun. Where was Adam? And there's this big debate back and forth where Adam was. Some people say Adam was standing right there. Some people say he was off doing something. I don't know. I don't care to get into that debate. I don't care to get into that discussion. But I do know what God said to Adam. He told him to guard the garden. And I know that the enemy came and hit who? Adam or Eve? He hit Eve. Adam, whatever was going on. Eve takes the fruit and she eats of it, and then she hands it to Adam. What should Adam have done? No! No! Go ahead and say no. If you got little children, pretend you're looking at them and say, no. Amen. How many things do we need to say no to? Why? Because we're guarding the garden. Because we're guarding the garden. Think about this. Eve, and I like to say it this way because that's how the Apostle Paul said it. Eve was deceived. Adam was willingly disobedient. And it was when Adam ate the fruit and willingly disobeyed God that, let me just say it this way because it's the best way I can come up with it, that the garden stopped being for Adam and Eve what the garden was supposed to be. And they had to leave the garden. Can you guys think of your heart as the garden spot? What seeds are you planting in your heart? What seeds are we supposed to be planting in our hearts? If you go back to Proverbs 4, what's it say? Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. He's talking about his word. To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? If you were in the Garden of Eden, what would you do? If you think about your heart as being the Garden of Eden, what will you do for your heart? Guard it. Protect it. Amen. Let me just look at a few things here. I want to do this. Well, let's see. 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm trying to slow down. Wisdom goes slow. Wisdom goes slow. Wisdom goes slow. Y'all be patient with me. Amen. Y'all be patient with me. Praise God. It's really interesting. We're going to do this. It's really interesting in Mark chapter 4 where you have the four different types of soil. Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their heart. He comes to steal the word. Tribulations or persecution arise for the word's sake. So hard things come hitting a person's life. Tribulations, persecutions arise for the word's sake. Then the third type of soil, listen to this one. It's interesting. The worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things. How many of you can quote the next part of that verse with me? The desires of other things enter in. It's really interesting here. It's really interesting here. The desires of other things do what? Attack the word? Straight on attack of the word? Or do they just enter in and set down beside the word? See, they don't necessarily bother the word. But what do? They want to get a foothold. They want to be able to put down some roots. They don't necessarily attack the word of God. They just try to get a place. How many things want to get a place in our lives that we should not allow them to have a place in our lives? And I would think it would be really, really good to identify some of those things that we ought not allow to have a place in our life. I got some in my own life. Amen. You know, over in the Song of Solomon, it says this, catch the little foxes that eat the tender grapes and spoil the vine. catch the little foxes. What are the little foxes? Did you ever think about that? Catch the little foxes that eat the tender grapes and spoil the vine. What are the things that are just trying to enter into your life, but you should not let them have place? Because even though it's not a frontal attack on the Word of God, it is designed to take away from the Word of God. The deceitfulness of riches, desires of other things. Other than what? Other than the Word of God. Enter in and choke the Word, and the Word, it becomes what? Unfruitful. And then our hearts aren't producing what our hearts are supposed to be producing. I just want to read this. A friend of mine shared this with me a while back, and it's just really good. Wrestling with all kinds of thoughts, wrestling with all kinds of lies, wrestling with all kinds of things that would want to enter in and have place. See if you can relate to any of these. If you can relate to any of these, because my friend, they just had a whole list of them. How about this? Can anybody relate to this if you ever thought this? Nobody likes me. Is that true? No, that's not true. God likes you. He loves you. This friend of mine said this to me. They said, well, these are just lies that the devil feeds. Well, the only reason you're nice to me is you're the pastor and you have to be nice to me. There's some people who know me as pastor and I'm not always nice. So, you know, that's not true. The lies, the little things that try to enter in that aren't true. I don't have any friends. Anybody ever think that? That thought ever run through anybody's brain? You can kind of nod a little bit or, you know, let me know that we're communicating somehow if you want to. Or you can just raise your hand real big and go, yeah, I've had that happen to me. Okay, here's a few others. I don't fit in with my family. You ever hear anybody say, I'm the black sheep of the family? I think everybody wants to claim to be the black sheep of the family at some point in time or another. I know I have. Why is so-and-so married to me? I have wondered sometimes why on earth Diana married me. And I know the reason. I prayed and asked God to put us back together, and he did. Amen. He answered my prayer. Praise God. I'm not sure about her prayer, but he answered mine. I'm just getting by on my job. I'm not special. Anybody ever think that? Can I get a show of hands? Can we have a little more feedback back and forth here, please? I would love it. I'm not special. You want to bet? Do you know what a lie that is? Is there anybody else like you in the world? Nobody. Brian, that was not funny. Brian said, I hope not. I hear the second part. But just, that is such a lie. There's nobody else in the world like you. And this is what we ought to get a hold of. Did you know, because you are the way you are, nobody else in the world can talk to God the same way you can. To him, you are very unique, and to him, you fill a spot that nobody else can fill. That's special. God, the creator of everything, you fill a spot in his life that nobody else can fill. Turn and look at someone and say, I'm special. I just had a song run through my head. So special. Just, you guys might not recognize it when I sing it, but I'm not special. I'm way different from my family. I'm not interesting. I'm not funny. Who said you had to be? I'm not funny. I'm not friendly. I don't have enough for. I don't have enough. I'm not fun. I have no joy. People are out to get me. You ever heard that one? People are out to get me? I don't know. Oh, gosh. Here, I think this. You know, oh. How many of you remember what I did a number of years ago? I did it for 3 months and 1 week, and then I started to share with the church. I've done something for the last 3 months, and I'm going to continue to do it for the rest of this month, and I've never done this before in church. What is it? Shh, pop. So, for the next 3 weeks, I said, I'm doing it. And then when I got to the end of the 4 months, I asked, how many people know what I have been doing for the last 4 months? I've never done it before, but I've been doing it every Sunday in church. Nobody raised their hand and said, Pastor, you've been wearing the same white blazer for the last 4 months every Sunday. That's what I'm telling you, because nobody raised their hand and said that. Not a single person raised their head. Now, I've had a few people say, well, I noticed I just didn't raise my hand. Doesn't count then, sorry. If you didn't raise your hand when you were asked to raise your hand, afterwards, just not going there. But just think about that. The pastor standing in front of the church for 4 months wearing the same white blazer, and the vast majority of people don't even notice. You know, are people all that enamored with us? Should we really be all that concerned about what other people think of us? People are out to get me. Do you know most people are so consumed about their own life, they're not even thinking about your life? Freedom! Happy day! Glory to God! Most folks aren't thinking about me. Yes! Because there's so many negative thoughts that will come what people think. Oh, Lord, they're not thinking about me. They aren't thinking about me that much at all. Praise God. They're not wondering what I'm wearing, how long my hair is, whether I pick my nose or not. They're just not that concerned about it. Amen. But we're trying to introduce a little fun here in this morning. Okay, I hope you're doing better. I have to do more to matter. You ever get hit with that? I have to do better. I have to be better. No one really loves me. It's all conditional. Not true. I am such a screw up. My family would be better off without me. Anybody ever think some of these things? And they're lies. They're lies. Anybody ever attempt suicide? No, Marge did. I have. My hand's up. There's another hand up. Another hand up. How many of those of us that attempted suicide have heard these things before? Marge, your life matters. What you do today, back, I don't know how many years ago it was when you tried to take your own life. 28 years ago. But 28 years ago, you wouldn't be dreaming. You didn't dream that you'd be doing what you're doing today. And how many women today have their lives radically altered because of the plan that God had for your life? Hallelujah. Folks, you might be at a spot where a lot of these things are running through you and a lot of these things are talking to you, and all you can see is the moment. But would you dream a little bit with God? Would you let him kind of give you a glimpse of down the road? Would you realize that your heart is like a type and a shadow, a picture, I don't know if I want to say it all those ways, of the Garden of Eden? And your heart is worth protecting. It's worth keeping things out. It's worth keeping out the lies. It's worth keeping out the garbage. It's worth catching the little foxes and dealing with them. Amen. We get anything this morning? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that's where I'm going to quit. Amen. How many of you are still glad you're here? Praise God. I saw all, you know, maybe even more hands up the last time than the first time. Woohoo! Glory to God. I want to pray, and could I have those that are a part of the prayer team come on up, and just worship teams coming on up. We do this every